Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're a jerk. You're a jerk is what you are. Unbelievable. And you know, you know what you did.
If the host wants to get 8 seconds, by the way, if the host wants to get up and go open the door back up, the host can do that.
The AC has been out for a couple of days and it just came back on, but
allegedly
the AC is like a whisper. Well, we've had the door open because we went through the show yesterday, sans AC. And Lonzo and I being a couple of sturdy fellas, there were some pit stains going on yesterday.
And this morning, I mean, it's just, I mean, you know.
And so today we left the door, but we're like, sorry to literally everyone else in the building. You're going to have to deal with it because I cannot sweat through another shirt. Okay. I was like, I had to shower when I got home yesterday. And so we left the door open. Zoe tells Captain America Chris Evans down the hall during the break, hey, shut the door on your way out. To which I said, no, I'm fat and sweaty, and that's the only way it's going to be cool for like the next half an hour because the AC is going to take a minute. And Lonzo waits until the intro bumper plays to then get out of his chair and go close the door because I can't do anything about it now. You know what you did, and you did it on purpose.
I absolutely did it on purpose, and I laughed my whole way over there. Here's the other thing, and it's just my way of thinking. I'm not an engineer, but with the door closed, the thermostat, I think, can work better because it understands what the exact temperature is in the room. If that thing is affected by what's in the room, it's going to be affected from the air in the hallway, and it won't detect that it needs to get cooler. By the way, it's already gotten cooler since I closed the door.
And no,
yes,
it hasn't.
No, it hasn't. I can tell because I'm smarter when it comes to that stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's smarter at feeling things.
I am a knower of air.
Sweaty. You're sweaty. You're a sweaty man.
So?
You're a sweaty, sweaty man.
It's a big deal.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is.
If you can't handle my manly musk, there's the door.
No, I can't. Let's be clear. It is officially 7:03 in the morning. You have 57 minutes on the dot until you have to check in at the office. You got to log in, put in the old password, clock in, get ready to rock and roll, answer some passive-aggressive emails, tell the boss it's a lie that you totes went above and beyond working on that project late last night, and you swear it's going to be done today. And then you're going to not work on that project. Instead, you're going to walk down the hallway. You're going to head down to the break room. You're going to gather with your coworkers around the water cooler, and you are going to talk sports, my dudes and my dudettes. And if you're going to do that, you got to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you got to know what's going on in the world of sports, my friends, you need to know these things in today's water cooler cheat sheet. Nailed that one.
It might have been directed at someone. You know, maybe.
Oh, Rob, how dare you have the audacity of being warm and not wanting to
be. By the way.
What a jerk.
Why is everything all about you? There was somebody else in this room just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, but he's not in this room now, is he?
Doesn't mean he's not watching.
Well, I don't think Chris cares if the door's open or not. I care. I'm a sweaty, fat boy.
Choices were made. Consequences handed out.
You made the choice. The consequence of the choice to close the door is that I'm sweaty again.
You know what? I am curious as to what number one is. Trying to stick us on the clock, which we discussed earlier about how we need to stick to the clock, and you're just trying to go
somewhere. I am number one. The NBA playoffs roll on, two games in the books last night. It began with the Miami Heat, who entered this game as 14.5 point underdogs. They won by 13. It is the third largest point upset in NBA playoff history. 14.5 point dogs. They win 111-101, and no small part because of the fact that they knocked down 23 three-pointers on 53.5% shooting from range. The sniper rifles were out last night for the Miami Heat, 23 of 43 from deep. They were 37 of 75 from the floor overall. You were led with 24 by Tyler Hero, 21 from Caleb Martin and Bam Adebayo. Jovic had 11, and Watkins Jr. had 14 on the night. Over on the other side, you got exactly what you expected. 33 out of Jaylen Brown, 28 out of Jason Tatum, 13 out of Derek White. It was Kristaps Porzingis who disappeared last night. 1 of 9 from the floor, 0 of 4 from the arc. 4 free throws made for 6 total points for Kristaps Porzingis. Bam Adebayo slapped the handcuffs on him last night. And to me, that was the difference in this game. I was listening to the end of this matchup on the drive home last night from the concert that I went to. And, like, you could hear in the voice of the Boston play-by-play guy that there was no hope, there was no optimism for a late-game comeback like the Knicks had the other day when they were down 5 with 30 seconds to play and they ended up winning the game. There was no optimism there for Boston. It was actually a real good game. Miami won the first quarter by 1. They trailed by 3 at the half, but they ended up winning the third quarter by 9. And at that point, Boston just couldn't get anything going. That series now tied at 1 game apiece heading back down to South Beach. The New Orleans Pelicans. Ugh. Dude, we suck. We suck. They gave me so much hope back in game 1. No Zion, still almost won the game. Bad bounce of the basketball. Bad shot selection to wrap it up. I thought, all right, the boys got a chance. The boys can make something happen here. The boys got beat by freaking 30 last night. 124-92, your final. Don't even worry about games 3 and 4. We don't need to play them. I don't want to watch them. Go ahead, move the Thunder up in the bracket because my team suddenly forgot how to play basketball. What the hell?
Hey, Rob, at least your team made it to the playoffs.
Yay! Huzzah! Yay!
You're sending mixed signals there. Is it a big deal or is it not?
We're ass, dude. We suck. We suck. 124-92 is your final in this one. Brandon Ingram and Herb Jones with 18, 19 for Jonas. If Jonas Valanciunas is our leading scorer, we're cooked, bro. We're cooked. On the flip side, 33 for SGA, 26 for Chet Holmgren, 21 for Jalen Williams, 15 and 13 for Dort and Giddey, respectively. They shot 59% from the floor. Ball game. If an NBA team shoots 60% from the floor, they're winning the game. That's it. That's how it goes. 60% from the floor, 48% from three, 90% from the stripe. That is going to win you 95% of NBA basketball games. And if you lose a basketball game going 59, 48, and 90%, it's only because the other team did better. It's unbelievable. Defense sucked for the Pellies. Offense sucked for the Pellies. And I'll have you know, I also listened to the end of this game. Well, the beginning of this game on the drive home. But I had to listen to the Oklahoma City Thunder radio. Every time Oklahoma City hit a three, Lonzo, you know, every radio guy has like their thing for the big moments, right? Touchdown, Rebels. Like, you all have your thing for the big moment. The radio guy from Oklahoma City, whenever the Thunder would knock down a three, he goes like this, and I quote, "Cha-ching, the Thunder money ball." That's his call for a three. And not like a three. Every three. Cha-ching, the Thunder money ball.
Is that like when you yell Kobe every time you make
Kobe.
You take a shot?
Yes, but I don't have tens of thousands of people listening to me. Cha-ching, the Thunder money ball.
You could have that.
Here comes Holmgren down the outside, pushes it to the right, reverses back around outside to Jeff. Oh, and by the way, he called every player only by their nickname. Jalen Williams, he calls him J-Dub, and that's all he called him in the game. Never skips it around to Williams on the far side. No. Skips it around to J-Dub. Cha-ching, the Thunder money ball.
All right.
Bro, stop.
So I'm just guessing here, but demographics for the NBA probably skews younger, and the younger audience probably enjoys the nicknames.
Using the nickname's fine. Only using the nickname is, I'm sorry to say, speaking of the use, cringe, bro. J-Dub brings it around. There's Giddey on the outside, skips it over to Holmgren. Holmgren for three, cha-ching the Thunder money ball.
Wait, Holmgren doesn't have a nickname?
Chet. No. J-Dub had one. J-Will had one. SGA had one. K-Dub had one. Cha-ching the Thunder money ball. Stop!
There's a pot and kettle thing going on here. I just want you to know that.
Nicknames are fine.
Okay, because
not only nicknames are fine.
I've never met anybody who nicknamed more than you do. So,
I mean, all the time. Yeah. But then I also cha-ching the Thunder Moneyball. Shut up, dude. Just say three. Just say buckets. Splash. Strings. Literally any cha-ching the Thunder Moneyball. That's not a good call. All right, that's just a personal thing I had to get off my chest.
I like take that stuff out of the sports flash when you put it in.
Cha-ching the Thunder money ball.
Because I don't talk that way, so. Right. Okay.
Dude, a whole ass NBA game of, there were in that game like 42 made three-pointers. Cha-ching the Thunder money ball. Cha-ching the Thunder money ball.
I'm just guessing if you're a Thunder fan, you're like, yeah.
Then either
that's my guy.
Either say cha-ching or say Thunder money ball. Don't say both. It's too much.
Luke on the stream says zibbity dibbity outta oopity.
That's my new three-point call. Next time I call a firming game, that's what I'm going with. Item number two on the water cooler cheat sheet. Handful of games around the Stanley Cup playoffs last night. The Bruins knock off the Maple Leafs 4-2. Brad Marchand had two goals in this game last night. And also, I hate Brad. Brad's the worst, dude. Brad's the worst. He's the worst guy. He's the worst hockey player. He's dirty. He's gross. I don't like him. He had a real good game last night. Two goals last night for Brad Marchand as the Bruins take the series lead 2-1 in that one. The Golden Knights are one game closer to eliminating the Dallas Stars for the 317th consecutive year in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They now lead this series 2-0 after a 3-1 victory over Dallas last night. Dallas opened the scoring off the stick of Jason Robertson on the power play earlier, but then Jonathan Marchessault, Noah Hanifin, and Jack Eichel got three consecutive back for the Golden Knights. They put away the Big D, and I do mean Dallas. And finally, an overtime thriller last night as the Kings knock off the Oilers 5-4 in that one. That series now tied up at one apiece. The Kings got two out of the gate. The first period ended 3-1 in favor of L.A. The second period, all Edmonton, as Dylan Holloway and Zach Hyman both netted goals to bring it level at three apiece. Kevin Fiata got the go-ahead goal. Dylan Holloway got his second to equalize, and less than 2 minutes and 10 seconds into OT, Anze Kopitar got the win for the Kings last night. The Kings now have leveled that series at one game apiece. Let's quickly get to item number three. I'm doing this one just because I despise MLB umpires. They're the worst. They're like the Brad Marchands of baseball. Yes, that is the reaction they should get every time they come out on the field. About nine people gathered yesterday to watch the LA Angels of Anaheim take on the Baltimore Orioles.
You said nine people.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's
about nine people were there.
All right.
Because that team sucks. Replay review of an initial out call on Joe Adell's attempted steal of second base would have put the tying run in scoring position with two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning was reviewed and not overturned, despite the fact that video evidence showed that the call was wrong. Like, you got to go, you know, we use the term you got to have indisputable video evidence. There was. I saw it. It was real bad. Replay review of an initial out call did not encourage the umpires to overturn the call. The Angels were working the comeback last night. Instead, a 6-5 L to the O's, their sixth defeat in seven games. That game was absolutely blown. The Angels trailed 6-0 midway through the sixth, cut their deficit to 2. By the time that Craig Kimbrell took the bump for the ninth, a two-base error and a run-scoring ground out made it a one-run game with two outs. Adell worked a full-count walk and took off for second on the ensuing pitch from Kimbrell, who is notoriously slow to the plate. At least one camera angle show Adell's right foot touching the edge of second base well before the glove with the ball touched the top of his right leg. But second base umpire Nick Lentz called him out. The Angels challenged the call, triggered the delay, and it did not get overturned, which was, let me use the best, most eloquent word that I can for it. About the best I can describe it. You know what I mean? This is the frustration that I have when people go, oh, Rob, why don't we start time with replay? They get it wrong. Yeah. Do you understand? I'm mad about this too. As pro replay guy, as pro tech guy, I'm mad about this too. Because if these calls were overturned as they should have been, as they should be, when there is incontrovertible, empirical evidence that the call was wrong, then y'all wouldn't have a reason to be mad at replay, and it would be easier for me to sell it. There's your water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories that you need to know. When we come back, we have gotten through 20 picks in the 2024 NFL mock draft. We go to 21. The Miami Dolphins are on the clock. We talk Dolphins ball and run through at least two picks in the next segment of the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Get you caught up on the Rob Brown Show mock draft so far. Caleb Williams, overall first selection to the Chicago Bears. Jaden Daniels goes second to the Commanders. Drake May third to the Patriots. The Cardinals, Chargers, and Giants go three straight wide receivers with Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Rome Odunze coming off the board. The Titans take the first offensive line and Joe Alt from Notre Dame at 7. Byron Murphy the second, interior defensive lineman from Texas, 8th to Atlanta. Jared Verse, edge rusher out of Florida State, goes 9th to Chicago. The Jets take Olufoshanu, the offensive lineman, out of Penn State. In retrospect, I probably should have put Brock Bowers in this spot, but hey, what are you going to do? Minnesota Vikings, Michael Penix Jr., quarterback out of Washington. I think he jumps J.J. McCarthy, who I've got going 12th, to Denver at 13. The Raiders take Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo. The Saints take Talisa Fuaga, the offensive tackle out of Oregon State. Brock Bowers going 15th to Indy, 16th Seattle. Troy Fotanu, offensive lineman from Washington. The Jacksonville Jaguars, in today's first pick, went Dallas Turner, edge rusher out of Alabama. The Bengals, Latu Latu, edge rusher from UCLA, going 18th at 19th. Tarion Arnold, cornerback, Alabama, goes to the LA Rams in the 20 spot. The Steelers take Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver, out of LSU, and that brings us to number 21, the Miami Dolphins. And ladies and gentlemen, the pick is in. With the 21st overall selection in the 2024 Rob Brown Show mock draft, the Miami Dolphins select J.C. Latham, offensive lineman from Alabama. 6'6", 360. You want to know what's fun about J.C. Latham? 6'6", 360 plays like a guard. Can play tackle, probably will play tackle, but plays like a guard. Plays like an inside offensive lineman, built like an offensive lineman on the outside. It's very, very interesting because I think he could be very, very versatile for the Miami Dolphins and give them a lot of different options. So here are some of the things I like about J.C. Latham. Number one, very quick to establish his pass block. Very quick to establish his pass block. He has got a firecracker of a first kick. That ball snapped. J.C. Latham is in his pass pro set before a defensive lineman's hand comes off the ground. He is very, very quick. Second thing I like, he is very strong. His first pop will disrupt a lot of guys. We talked yesterday about Jared Verse, a guy I love as an edge rusher. J.C. Latham is exactly how you counter a guy like Jared Verse. You hit him with an initial pop that is so tough that I don't care how big, strong boy you are at DL, you're going to disrupt that guy. And I think J.C. Latham possesses that knockback explosiveness that you want out of an edge setter. But again, it also allows him, because of his versatility, to be an outside or an inside defender. I don't know which direction they're going to go, whether they play guard or tackle, maybe some hybrid of both. We'll find out. He's also an immensely strong player as far as his ability to lock onto a block and not release it. D-linemen know they're going to make contact. The question mark is, can they slide out of that contact? Can they slip that contact and get into the backfield? It's very hard to do against J.C. Latham. There is one issue that J.C. Latham's going to have to deal with. He's going to have to learn how to read pre-snap defensive looks. He's going to have to get better about recognizing when stunts are coming his way. Because when he is one of the better blockers in this draft when he's heads up 1v1 versus a guy. But when you start running DL guys across his face, when you start running guys in stunts and slants and cross patterns, etc., at the line of scrimmage, J.C. Latham can be a little bit slow to recognize and get comfortable in those spots. The other thing, you remember that quick step I talked about? That fact that he can, bang, he's in pass pro before a D-line comes off the ground? That's fantastic. The problem with that is if he rushes into that pass pro set and he gets up and he fires into that, sometimes he gets that momentum moving too far back. And if he does meet a defensive lineman that is equally as quick off the football, and they can get to him before he's able to recover and set that center of gravity back over his feet. If they get to him and that center of gravity is still back over his back foot because he kicked back too fast, he can be pushed backwards. It's rare, but it can be done. And obviously at the next level, everybody's an elite athlete. J.C. Latham ends up going 21st overall to the Miami Dolphins. Do I have time to do 22 here, great one, or should I push it off? All right, we'll push it off. When we come back, we go to pick number 22. The Philadelphia Eagles are on the clock. In the next segment of the show, we're going to run through at least three of the picks. Philly, Minnesota, and Dallas. We will try to fit Green Bay in as well. And then we're going to have to speed through the back half of the first round, because at 8:40, Rashad Beard joins us. At 9 o'clock, Hayton Ass Mario joins us. At 9:20, Fight Club with a great one. And then we wrap it up with What the X is Going On, all coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.TV. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.TV to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We have made it up through the Miami Dolphins at pick number 21 to select J.C. Latham, the offensive lineman out of the University of Alabama. I'm going to miss that from Eli Gold. That brings us to pick number 22. It puts the Philadelphia Eagles on the clock. And ladies and gentlemen, the pick is in. With the 22nd overall pick in the 2024 Rob Brown Show mock draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Cooper DeJean, cornerback from Iowa. No. No. Listen to me.
You're just doing Cajun. Nah, you're going Cajun here. Stop. Gambit's dead.
Listen to me.
So you can't be trying to talk like Gambit.
I will not allow a bunch of Midwestern corn-loving weirdos to just turn around.
What's wrong with corn?
And absolutely, I don't know if I'm allowed to say the word I want to say here, so I'll just say disrespect the way that that is pronounced, all right? You don't get to just change how the word said. J-E-A-N is Jean. It's French. That's what it is.
Jane. One of those people was actually, I'm guessing, works for the network because they're grabbing network guys to do this stuff.
Listen, the second guy was the play guy for the school.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm sure that Coop believes his last name is DeJean, but it's not. That is DeJean. That's Cooper DeJean. You got flair. Embrace it, my guy. Cooper DeJean. Anyway.
Why would you want to sound French?
Lonzo has elected violence today, people. That's what's happening here. He has elected violence.
Just because if you're not on stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, or X, and you don't know that Rob is straight up rocking his Saints gear. So apparently he's French today.
I'm French every day. I'm French and Irish. I got the two best. All right? I got food over here and whiskey over here. It's a good day.
Yeah, how's that working out for you?
Real bad. Real bad. Real, real bad. Cooper Blue Jeans is a very, very competitive defensive back. This is a dude who will fist fight a wide receiver if he needs to. He is explosive. He is tall. He is fast. He is thick with two C's on the back end of it. Here's what I will say. He is a better zone guy than man guy. His man coverage is average. His zone coverage is phenomenal. If you are a quarterback who does not have great eye discipline, what I mean by eye discipline is you're looking over here and you know you're throwing over there, but you lead the DB in that direction with your eyes and you've got the peripheral of what's happening over here and you know that's the way you're going. If those eyes clip over to where you're going and then back, Cooper DeGene understands that. He sees that. He reacts to that exceptionally well. The only place that I have concern for this guy is he is not great at getting the hips turned and chasing down the deep ball. He's quick. He's quick. He's got a good 40 time. He's got good size attached to him. But if you can get behind him, if you can get a nine route behind him, and this is why he's fallen this far, despite the fact a lot of teams that need defensive backs, if you can get a DB behind him, he struggles to get turned and get caught up, and that is a big, big problem. The second thing, and this is what I've understood from interactions with scouts and folks on Twitter, is they look at Iowa, and they see two things. Number one, the Big Ten was crap when it came to offenses this year. There were two of them. There was Michigan. There was Ohio State. Maybe you could argue Penn State was better than they looked. I don't think that they were. The Big Ten was loaded with bad offenses this year. And so there are some scouts at the top level who genuinely do not believe that Cooper DeGene and the Iowa Hawkeyes actually faced competition that tested him, that brought out the best in him, and that is another reason he has dropped, because they watched him play a bunch of bad offenses and he looked pretty good against a bunch of bad offenses. So we'll see. We'll see if that translates. Let's grab another pick. Number 23 belongs to the Minnesota Vikings, their second pick in round number one, and the pick is in. With the second first-round pick and the 23rd pick overall, the Minnesota Vikings select Amarius Mims, offensive line from Georgia. Don't have an issue with that. This is another, to me, developmental pick. This is another prospect pick. Last night I was on BetMGM Tonight with Tristan, Nick, and Ryan, and we were having a conversation about the philosophy of first round picks, because I went against, and I don't remember who we were talking about specifically, but I went against a pick that one of those guys had made, and they said, why? Like, why do you not love this pick? And I said, because that guy feels like a prospect pick to me. And I think if you are a good team, if you're like a Kansas City, then I think you can gamble your first round pick on a prospect pick. If you feel up to it and you're good already, then yeah, you can look at a guy and go, he's going to need some polish, but I think this guy can be great. That is Amarius Mims to me. I think he's a prospect. He's a big fella. Goes 6'8", goes 340. I think he's got a chance to be very, very good. And at this point in the draft, the elite offensive linemen are by and large all gone at this point. So if you got to go OL, and the Vikings are, in my opinion, going to have a new quarterback next year, with all due respect and appreciation to the absolute icon that is Sammy D, the Vikings aren't going to use Sam Darnold as a franchise quarterback. Why would they? So they got to go quarterback. My belief is it's Michael Penix Jr. But whether it's Michael Penix Jr. or J.J. McCarthy at 11 or somebody else with a trade up, if there is a dramatic move there from the Vikings, whether it's Penix Jr. or anybody else, step one, right, Bryce Young, is to build an offensive line in front of them, is to not ask them to play behind five subway turnstiles and expect to develop, succeed, grow, and thrive in year number one. This is how Minnesota at least takes a step in that direction. This guy is a prototype in terms of size, and we use this word, length. It is one thing to be tall. It is another thing to have length. It is another thing to play long, to have that wingspan, to have those arms where I can eat up two blockers and keep them at a distance in case they run a stunt across the middle and a linebacker to the far side. I love having an offensive lineman with those long arms that can reach out and take on two blocks, or that can take on one block and extend those arms, get them away from the body so that pass rush moves become less successful against them. But as you heard in the draft profile there, Amarius Mims has limited experience. He has 8 career starts in college. Amarius Mims is inconsistent, not bad, inconsistent against the run. Minnesota, with a rook quarterback, more than likely, is going to want to build on the run game, to use the run game to develop whoever the next quarterback is. This is a big question mark about that. His acknowledgement of how, when, and the structure to get to the second level is a question mark right now. He is very good on the pass. He is inconsistent against the run. He is not good at getting to the second level. So if you're going to run and you're going to ask this guy to get a second level block against the linebacker to run a pulling guard behind him, right now that's a big fat question mark. And I'm concerned about that. Third thing is, we talked about why offensive linemen yesterday who play too far forward. They play with the center of gravity out in front of the feet. Amarius Mims plays it with behind the feet. At the top of the rush, when he is eating the contact, Amarius Mims plays up. He's 6'8". So if he plays up and you get a good bust of a D lineman on that chest and he gets knocked back, that center of gravity's going backwards. He's going backwards. They're going to have to work on it. And this doesn't surprise me. He's a guy with 8 career starts. He's going to have some work to do. Amarius Mims, offensive lineman, goes to the Minnesota Vikings at 23 at number 24. The Dallas Cowboys are on the clock, and the pick is in. With the 24th selection in the 2024 Rob Brown Show mock draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Graham Barton, offensive lineman, Duke. Graham Barton is already built like a starter. He already plays like a starter. He has the technique of the starter. There is only one issue with Graham Barton. It is his size. He stands in at 6'5", 313. You heard Amarius Mims. That dude's going like 480 pounds. You've heard about the guys that got picked in the top end. They're all up in the 340s, 350s, 360s. He checks in at 313, which is why you heard in the draft profile there that they are likely to move the guy to the interior, to a guard or a center position. Outside of that, this dude is actually a very polished player. If I took this guy's technique and ability and I put him into the body of Amarius Mims, Lonzo, he'd be a top 3 pick. He'd be a top 4 pick. He would be in the mix with those wide receivers because the technique is solid. The foundation is good. He doesn't play with his center of gravity not over his feet in any direction. The only issue that he has is his size. He lunges a little bit on the block when he's going to the second level. But as an interior guy, you're not going to ask that all that much from him. And if you're Dallas, again, Jerry Jones said the other day, they want to keep Dak around. They just got to balance the contract they give him versus the contract they can afford for other spots. This is a great way to keep Dak and keep money for Dak, but also keep Dak safe and slow down the pass rush that causes those playoff meltdowns from the Cowboy offense. I really like this kid. I just wish he was about 35 pounds heavier.
This doesn't sound like an all-in pick to me. So, and Jerry Jones said they're all in. So I'm not sure that they take the kind of pick that makes sense here. Because if you're all in, that means you're going for it.
Yeah, but I mean, you're set at wide receiver. You could use a running back, but I don't think anybody thinks. I don't even have a running back going in the first round. I haven't seen a mock that does. You got a real good defense put together. I mean, you could probably use a linebacker to replace Vander Ash, who retired because of the neck injury. But I mean, if you're going to go all in on Dak, you got to go offensive line here, and I think that's the play. Let's get one more in here. On the clock at number 25, the Green Bay Packers, and the pick is in. With the 25th overall selection in the 2024 Rob Brown Show mock draft, the Green Bay Packers select Nate Wiggins, cornerback, Clemson. You know, I was ready to give like a big shout out to our guy, Don Munson, right there.
Well, I didn't do it over Don.
No, I know
I'm not going to disrespect Don. He's too good of a guy.
Don's a great dude.
The other guy, I don't know him, so I don't care.
He said Clemson, and I thought Lonzo's ears were going to fall off. He smiled so hard.
I did smile.
Nate Wiggins is going.
That's how it's pronounced everywhere else, by the way.
25th overall to the Green Bay Packers. A lot of things I like about Nate. A couple of things I think NFL teams are going to have to be concerned about. Number one, the frame is not that built. He's kind of a skinnier dude at this position. The good news is, on his draft profiles, from all the ones that I've seen, the common belief amongst the NFL scouts right now is that because his frame is so long, he can add weight to it. He is a very athletic field coverage guy. You can drop him back from a quarterback role into a cover three, a disguised cover three, and you can trust nobody's getting deep on him. He is, of all the DBs we've talked about so far in this draft, the most hips on a swivel guy that is going to get drafted in the first round. You are not outmaneuvering Nate Wiggins. The wide receivers, we talked about some of the other DBs in this draft, how a double move beats him. A very quick single move beats him. Not Nate Wiggins. So what's the downside? Why is he all the way down at number 25? Number one, off-man coverage, he gives a lot of cushion. Off-man coverage, he gives a lot of cushion. If he is not lined up in press, he does not climb into the back pockets of guys that get into his zone. Number two, I know he's got speed. I know he's got those hips that can get turned on a dime and change directions very, very quickly. The problem is he very frequently flipped those hips late. By the time he got those quick hips around, he was already beat. If he didn't have the quick hips, Nate Wiggins would be bad. Like, if he didn't have the quick hips, Nate Wiggins would be bad. Because he turns the hips too late. The bad news. The good news is, once those hips get turned, they turn as quickly and he's up the field as fast as anybody else. If you can teach this guy to recognize the route and to get those hips flipped just a little bit faster, just a fraction of a second faster, Nate Wiggins might be one of the better cornerbacks taken in this draft. He's not uber aggressive, and this is always something that a lot of folks look at. Do you attack the ball? He doesn't. He doesn't. He'll attack a jump ball, but he doesn't attack the ball off reliefs, and that is something they're going to have to work on. And the last thing, and this is going to hurt every DB, he is not good in run support. He does not want to be involved in run support. He does not want to jump into that pile. He does not want to run into the back of a linebacker and slam into the back of a line and take shots and try to make tackles in the run game. And they need him to. He has to do that at the NFL. So he is going to have to change that aspect of his game if he wants to make anything happen there. When we come back in the next hour of the show, we are going to get as close to the end of round number one as we possibly can. We will jump all the way up to pick 26. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on the clock when we come back. Now on the clock, 60 seconds of sports talk greatness from the great one, Sports Flash.
In the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Bruins down Toronto last night 4-2. Brad Marchand scored twice for the Bruins and added an assist, while Jake DeBrusk and Trent Frederick added solo goals. The Bruins led the series 2-1. Rob hates it when people don't pronounce French like French. The Golden Knights are 2 games away from eliminating the Dallas Stars from the postseason. Again, after a 3-1 win last night, gave them a 2-0 series lead. Dallas jumped out to a 1-0 lead in the first, but Jonathan Marchessault, Noah Hanifin, and Jack Eichel all recorded a score consecutively. You know what's going on today? The NFL draft. You know what you can do? You can join Wire to Wire as Cole Bryson and Diesel broadcast live from Dave and Buster's in Greenville. Come out and hang with the guys as they get you ready for the first round of the NFL draft, 3 to 7 p.m. today. It's live. It's on location. It's Wire to Wire.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.